everybody. Welcome back to Moments of Peace. I'm here again with my friend Jeannie, and we are going to talk about dual enrollment and her experience with it. So, you have a daughter. She'll be starting actually in the fall. Well, next year, right?
Right.
Doing dual enrollment, actually college, but you did dual enrollment with mm-hmm. her ahead of time. So, how did that go? What made you choose dual enrollment, and what are some advice that you have about it?
So again, you have lots of options. We're very blessed to have that in this area, and I'm sure it's in other areas too. But let's see, when she was in 10th grade, I think she took the PSAT and she got a high score on it. So she was able to start Vance Granville Community College, and she was going to do a paralegal program. And she got approved for that because she had the high SAT score. She didn't have to, or the PSAT, she didn't have to wait for 11th grade. Well, she decided she didn't want to do it. Decided she wanted to stay in classical conversations until her 11th grade year. So we scratched that idea, but that is some great programs to look at. They have a lot of options, and even if you want to start before 11th grade, you just have to have a high score. So we did the Southeastern. They call it the College at Southeastern is their undergraduate, and they have a lot of choices. They are $2.99 a class, and it's kind of like, you know, private school, really, or if you just want to give them a taste of college, see if they like it, see if they want to stay there. You know, most, I think, areas have a local college that'll do this. I know Regents does it because they talked to us about that there. And so the way it's set up there is you can take 10 classes. So you can do 5 your 11th grade year, 5 your senior year is kind of the way it's kind of designed, and mm-hmm. then you can enter in as a sophomore. Mm-hmm. And she's loved it. She did college algebra. She's done... 2 Englishes, she's done, an ethics class, she's done Old Testament, she's in philosophy right now. She says that one's been the hardest. She said, I don't know if I'm going to pull off an A on this one, but so far she's gotten all A's, so maybe ending that streak. But it's been a great fit for her, and it's very economical. You want to save some money. She likes driving herself back and forth. And then, you know, things that you brought up is it's gotten her used to the whole college scene, so it's not a big transition for her. She's made friends. She knows the layout of the campus. And it's just been a really good experience for us. And the teachers there, I don't know about everywhere, but the teachers there have been so nice, so friendly. We're very thankful for them.
Yeah, I've heard some of the teachers at the College of Southeastern is a lot better sometimes than the seminary professors, so that's kind of funny, but probably because by the time you're in seminary, it's, you know, it's a narrow road and probably more controversial than when you're just there doing your thing for the college, and maybe they're nicer just because the kids are younger usually.
I guess the expectations are higher
because yes, exactly.
You've already done your undergrad, I would imagine,
right?
So
yeah. So that's true. And so did you pick College of Southeastern based on it being a Christian college or just what they had available? Or would you have been totally comfortable with your daughter going to a, the city or county school?
Well, she kind of picked it, but it was local. And it was affordable, and she could drive herself. And we actually know other people that go there, people who have graduated from there. We know a couple of the teachers. It was just a real hometown feeling for us. You know, I didn't know if she'd end up staying there, and she has. She wants to stay. So, you know, 22 minutes from our house, I'm real thankful for that. She can come home anytime she wants.
That is a blessing.
I can take her, buy some food. I can
do
her laundry for her if she wants to, or whatever she needs, you know.
Right.
She's probably calling me all the time because she's a little bit nervous about the food because she's so picky. Mm. She's like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to eat the food there, so I'll have to take, you know, some groceries over or something like that. So,
and what would you say transcript-wise that you've been doing and how it'll all work out when she's done with dual enrollment before she transfers over for full-time?
So I just keep a simple notebook of every semester, the name of the classes, what grade she got. Some of the testing scores, we keep all that stuff. You know, she's done the SAT now. She does her yearly end of grade. We call it an end of grade test. We just do the simple CAT, check the box. It's really not that big of a deal. And then Southeastern's kept all of her grades there. So really it's going to be nothing for her. I'll just have to finalize her transcript on the transcript maker site and then just submit that with her college application. They've already got her grades. So.
And have you done anything special for her college application? Have you guys started that yet or looking into that?
We have looked at it. She has to have a church reference and a couple personal references and a pastor reference, and then her SAT score, and then her grades. is pretty much what they require. So we've kind of gotten it all together. I think this December she'll have one class left. And so at that point, I think we're just going to go ahead and finish her transcript and send it into them and do her financial aid. They've changed that this year. It used to be October. Apparently, they're going to a simpler application that will be starting this December. So I have no knowledge about any of that, so that'll be something I have to figure out. But we'll be doing that in December as well.
Now, was there anything that made you intimidated about homeschooling through high school that now looking back, you're like, what would you have told yourself?
I was very intimidated because I had not done school in like 20 years. And I didn't remember algebra, geometry, or any of that kind of stuff. So I was really intimidated about that. But then again, I had a daughter that's raised herself. She was able to figure it all out. So
Right. And
then
she's that oldest, classic oldest, independent, take charge kind of person.
I'm so thankful for her.
Personality.
I often say all we do is really pay for stuff for her. Like, I don't even know what's happening because I know some of the teachers were like, we treat them as regular college students and we deal with them, not with you. So you can't be, you know, messaging and getting all into it. And I was like, oh, I don't even know what's going on. Like, I seriously just pay for stuff. Like, I have no idea what's happening. I see the grade, the final grade at the end, and I move on. So, yeah, I think that that's another thing that God blessed us with, is having a child like her to kind of help balance out the other one.
Right. You know, that makes sense. I mean, because she knew that you would need, like, that kind of that classic oldest, and the fact that sometimes, like, when you have an oldest girl, it's more like a nurturing second mom because it's so innate in women. And so I think that it was easier for her to be like, I got this. You worry about me. You know, I got this, you know. And she's so driven. She's really driven. So did you guys do a preview before?
We did. Okay. We did the preview day, and that was a lot of fun because I wanted her to feel comfortable with kind of knowing the campus and kind of getting excited about it and know where things are, where the cafeteria is, and you know, where she needs a t-shirt or something, where the locker was and that kind of thing. So kind of got her just kind of excited about doing that.
So I know a lot of people kind of put a lot of trust in the fact that, oh, it's a Christian school, so there's not going to be this many issues. But you and I know that there's issues everywhere, and you have a unique perspective because you know, you guys come from a law enforcement background, so you're very real and honest about how the evil that's really out there. And so how do you feel like you've prepared her to be at college, you know, be it that she's only 25-30 minutes away, you know, it's still a lot of her being on her own, basically, to be in that area, because you know, we shouldn't just be like, oh, it's Christian, it's fine. Like, there's still stuff that happens on Christian campuses.
It's everywhere. Nowhere is perfect. You just got to find the best and hope that you've prepared them. And we have had so many discussions in our house, some that were very uncomfortable, some that other people probably never, I know people did not have discussions with me about. And so I feel like they are very prepared, and if they go out and they make mistakes, it's really on them. I've done my job. We have told them every horror story there is. You know, I tell them all the time, you know, the people that come in the jail, how messed up their teeth are and from drugs and their arms. And if they decide that they want to go do that after all that money we put into those teeth, that is really, you know, your decision.
Right.
But I've done my part. I've not sheltered them in any way. They're very aware.
And I know, because we've done some classes together, so one thing I want to do is, how do you balance out your dual enrollment classes and your classes that you take on personally still with Noelle, like, meaning that she's still going to do outside of dual enrollment?
Well, I would like keeping my kids really busy because they don't have time for other stuff. You know, Noelle has never showed the first interest in any boy. She don't care. She does not have the time for it because she works at Food Line, and she serves in the nursery at church, and she has her church group. And so she's doing the five classes this year. We did do two of them over the summer, so she'll only have three left, to cut back a little bit because I think it did put too much on her last year. She made it, but it was a lot.
Right.
So we'll be doing the two this fall. And then we're doing our co-op with you, and then she'll have speech and debate, and that's probably all she's going to be able to handle. Then she's not going to have free time for anything else.
Right. So that is a full, like a full plate for her.
But there again, you learn. So like last year, she said it was a little bit too much on her. So I said, okay, well, let's knock two of them out over the summer, so it'll be less on you during the year, and especially in the spring when we travel for the speech and debate competitions. Yes. She'll only have one that semester, and she's going to do that one online instead of in person, so it'll be a little bit more flexible because sometimes you're gone for the whole week, mm-hmm. and she can just kind of make sure she gets her assignment in, but it won't be as much on her.
So knowing her, I feel like speech and debate has helped her with dual enrollment, and dual enrollment has helped her speech and debate. Like, would you say that that's accurate?
I would say that's very accurate. So, like I said, she's taking a philosophy class right now. Yeah. And what's interesting is the two definitions that they are talking about in philosophy is what she's going to be debating in speech and debate this time. Rationalism and imperialism, if I've got that correct. Mm-hmm. And these kids are amazing. They talk about stuff that I don't know what they're talking about. And I have to judge and say who won. You know, right. I have to really think about it. It's highly impressive. I've never in my life experienced anything like it. It's a whole world itself. Mm-hmm. And you know, she does a dual interpretation with our friend Gabe, and that's just been amazing because that's really, I think, helped her come out of her shell a little bit, because I was highly impressed with seeing that.
I was too. Mm-hmm. These kids are impressive. The whole speech and debate, you know, totally impressive what these kids can do and how they can articulate things that, you know, grown people have a problem articulating. And just having public speaking skills is amazing. And I think that it also gives them a sense of confidence, like when to use their voice and how to use their voice. And I think that's a huge tool and blessing when going to college and even into the workplace.
I noticed a huge thing with her going on interviews for her job. Like, she wasn't as nervous and scared, and she'd just go right up to them and talk to them. And she went up there and answered questions and did the interviews. And it, you know, for whatever reason, it's really hard to get a job right now for teenagers.
I know. It's like they want to work. Yeah.
So she probably went on 10 interviews, right? And so, you know, she just kept nailing them. And so I think that builds you up for later in life.
And so you definitely would recommend NCFCA.
Yes, it has been probably one of the best experiences with homeschooling. We've done a lot of really good experiences, but it would probably be towards the top. I'm very grateful for that. I was a little bit apprehensive of it, but I was like, you know what, she really needs this because she was so meek and quiet, mm-hmm. and I wanted to bring her out of that a little bit. You know, I didn't want to take it away completely,
right?
You know, because meekness is a good thing, but I wanted her to be able to, you know, talk and not be so scared and shy. Like, she was really good with a couple people, and then she didn't really care about having anybody else in her life, and that she's made so many friends, and she's just more outgoing. And you know, I never thought she'd be up there doing any kind of plays and stuff. That was just, the duo was like really impressive.
That was impressive. I really enjoyed that because they did Animal Farm.
Yep.
And so that was a great one. And so with doing dual enrollment, do you feel like your kid needed any special like classes or skills before enrolling them into dual enrollment?
So a good foundation, like if you're going to take college algebra, and you probably need to have already done algebra and were successful at it, I wouldn't throw them directly into that. English, I really got to say, thank goodness everything has spell check these days, because that is not one of her strong points, and she knows that. So, but she's always been really good at writing papers.
Right.
But she really needs, and something else that Southeastern has is they have writing centers. So before you turn in a paper, they have somebody that goes through it with you and, you know, finds errors or what you could have, you know, phrased this a little bit better, or, you know, if your spell check didn't catch something, they might catch it and something like that. So that's really, I think, helped her too, just sitting down talking to a writing instructor appointment. I don't really know their labels, but that's helped her too. But they have so much to offer there. It's such a great place. I hear people talk about their kid going somewhere and they try to weed out kids in the first semester. They make it really hard to weed people out. I would not want my money going to a school that's trying to weed people out. Like that, something about that feels wrong to me when, you know, Christian colleges, and I know for a fact that Southeastern does this, they want everybody to succeed. They're there to help you succeed. And so that's something else that has bothered me, hearing some of the other moms talk about, you know, what school their child's going to go to. Like, oh, well, I hope they make it through the first semester. Well, that's, you know, that's so discouraging that they actually want to weed people out.
Right. And then how do you personally feel about paying for a college that will go against your beliefs?
Well, we told Noelle we can afford Southeastern. If she wants to go somewhere else, she might have to take on some debt herself. So, and they do support, as far as I know, all of our beliefs. I mean, nowhere is going to be perfect. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure there might be something that I might be like, eh, but that is the real world too. You know, you can only have it to such an extreme. You've got to, you know that everywhere isn't going to think exactly like you. The real world, there's going to be other things going on.
And do you feel like you've done anything to prepare her in her biblical worldview to kind of discern what's maybe sounds right, maybe doesn't sound right, you know, and what she would keep as like her straight convictions, and then other things she's like, I can compromise on that.
I think that a lot of the conversations we've had, a lot of the Bible studies that we've had, and I actually think that the ethics class she took there was really good, because she would come down and tell me about some topics they were talking about, and I'd be like, wow, like that's pretty impressive. And I did look through the book a little bit, and those are some hard, you know, topics. And so I think that that has laid a good foundation for her.
Yeah. And you guys go to a Bible believing church and all of those things. So that helps a lot. Just reading your Bible, yeah. You know, and getting them ready, and the real talk. Because I think a lot of people think that sometimes in the high school years, you know, it's so hands off, but really you can have some of the best relationships and discussions with them when you stay connected in that way.
I love this phase. We talk about politics, we talk about, you know, controversial things going on in the world, we talk about everything in our household. And, you know, a lot of times Nate says the funniest stuff because he looks at it very cut and dry. Like, right. This shouldn't even be a discussion, where, you know, she's a little bit more, we can discuss a lot about it. But it's a great phase. Like, a lot of people are sad when their kids start getting older. I have enjoyed every phase. I'm glad where we're at right now. It's just so fun.
So your sadness would be that it's coming to an end in some sense, as far as, like, you, it's, like, exciting and sad at the same time. Yeah. But you're just enjoying it, because it really can be, homeschooling through high school, some of the best years, because you do get to dialogue and see their worldview shaping, and they kind of, in some sense, not that our parenting style is this way, but you can see them being your friend. Like, you can have fellowship with them because you're seeing that like-mindedness being drawn out of them when you realize you have passed down your convictions or your heritage in that.
You do life with them.
Yeah.
I mean, and that is just the greatest thing. I don't think that God designed us to just go off on our separate ways all the time. That's right. How the family unit doesn't stay close and tight and together. So it's just a really great thing that we do a lot of, you know, parties together, trips together, activities together. We do classes together, not all of them, you know, we're not like together every second or anything like that, or you really only done one class to go this year.
Right. But you're not like, hey, go do dual enrollment, do a couple classes upstairs, see you later. It's like they're doing all of that, but she's dragging you in the conversations of what she's learning. You're still very much involved as far as just connecting with your child, even though, you know, you might be facilitating more in the high school years because you've, like, allowed them to do dual enrollment or other classes outside of the home as well.
We have decided to take a big step back for her this year because she will be turning 18. She will be graduating. So we've told her, you know, we're going to let you make a lot of your own decisions this year. We're here if you need guidance or you need help, or if you fall and you need to be picked back up. Mm-hmm. But we're taking a big step back. You know, just let us know, you know, I'm going to be working till this time, and then I'm going to go do this. But we have decided to give her a lot of freedom because next year she won't be living with us. So
right. I love that you brought that up, because actually one of my friends and mentor, who's also your friend and director of the Speech and Debate, Janet, has mentioned to me a few years ago when she had her twins still at home and they were in their senior year. She was saying that, you know, it's not like they turn 18 and it's like, oh, magical, like, they're going to make all the right decisions. Mm-hmm. They know that. She said, like, you know, maybe 6 months prior to that, they started to, like, let them do those kind of things, like, decide, okay, I'm going to go here, just communicate, you know, and still respect because it's my house, but at the same time, like, you know, they need to know, like, how to manage a phone, how to manage certain friendships, how to go places, do certain things, and communicate with you and manage their time without you kind of necessarily saying, do this, or giving them the constant reminders, because they have to own it.
That's another child-by-child basis thing. Like, yeah. Nate, I need to micromanage, right. But I don't need for her. You know what right. I mean? Because he might decide that he's going to go fishing, and he didn't come home because he decided to camp out that night, and I'd be freaking out. You right. know? So everything is a child-by-child. Everybody, that's true. You know, but, yeah.
Yeah, because I know one of the things she said, too, was, like, her kids got cell phones when they could pay for them, you know, and then other parents I know, they say, well, about 3 months before they graduate, I really like for them to do some form of social media if they're ever interested in it, so I can see and help coach them while they're still here on it. But, you know, there's other kids, like, who have more mental health issues or stuff that were, you know, like you said, the approach might have to be a little different at that point.
So social media, I said if she approaches me, we would do that together. I want to help her set it up so she can put all the security features and understand, like, people that you don't know will contact. Like, I would like to do that with her, but not until she's interested. So right. She has not ever mentioned it. She's not approached me about it. So we have not done that. I'm waiting for the day that she wants to do that.
Right. That makes sense. And it's...
I'm not going to open the door to it on purpose.
You know? Right. Yeah. Yeah. So that's nice how to kind of see your journey of how it's kind of been gradual on all things. You know, from, okay, dual enrollment, now you're driving. Now, you know, you've got more dual enrollment and you know your limit and you're going to pull back. But you're still going to do this class with your friends. And, you know, now you have your
I think a great decisions. Thing is having a part-time job. Like, mm-hmm. that just... It's just so great because you learn to work with all kinds of people. You're clocking in, you're clocking out. You're responsible for making sure that you got your schedule correct. You got there on time, which, you know, I mean, she's early for everything. So
yes.
Yeah, we don't worry about that. She's like, I can't clock in till the exact time, so I just stand there and look at the time clock. But it's so good for her. And, you know, then she can text me and be like, hey, when I get off, I'm going to go do this or whatever. You know.
So is her work schedule going to change some with when the dual enrollment and, you know, her full schedule of school starts?
She's going to go to work on weekends. Yeah, she won't be doing it in the week. I think that would just be too confusing and too much on her.
So is she going to do, like, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or just Saturday, Sunday?
Saturday, Sunday, Monday, I think is what she's going to do. She doesn't have anything on Mondays. And what's really good about that, she has her own money.
Mm-hmm.
And I've really taken a big step back from paying on things for her. I mean, of course, we still pay for her classes, and we're paying for, you know, her parking permit and things like that. But, you know, at this point, you really need to be paying for your own stuff. And also, I've told her that if we're paying for her to go to school next year, we're not giving her any spending money.
Right.
So if she wants spending money, she needs to start saving up. So that's what she's doing. She's trying to build up her bank account as much as she can so that the 3 years she's in school, she doesn't have to work while she's in school, but she'll have money.
Okay. So she's taking this summer and maybe through this next mm-hmm. senior year, and then possibly next summer to just save as much mm-hmm. as possible so that she can have her spending money.
That's the plan.
And then her food and her housing and all that will be covered at Southeastern.
Yeah.
Awesome. And I guess you'll have to come back and let us know how the application process went and that whole area, because that would be neat to talk about the whole transitioning officially into college.
Yeah.
So thank you for being with us.
Course.
Is there anything else you would like to say or encourage parents with at all through the high school years or dual enrollment or even transcripts?
There's just so many options. I mean, local community colleges. I went to community college. My husband went to community college. Those are great things. They offer so much. I mean, they even offer, you know, the pass to knock off 2 years if you want to go somewhere else, like a 4-year. They offer so many trades. You know, that's something Nate's looking into, a trade at Vance Granville. I don't know. We'll have to see. We'll have to meet back and see how that went. I might be like, oh, my gosh, he got licensed in this. I don't know. So we'll have to see.
Right. Awesome. Yes, the trades are sometimes so overlooked, but they can be.
The world can't function without them. We got to have them. Yep.
Absolutely. And it's such an easy way to get in and start making money without a whole lot of debt. And mm-hmm. for those kids who may not want or aren't really college bound, you know, because some people find it to be, you know, some kids have said college just sounds like another prison sentence for 4 years. You know? It's like, well, I could kind of see that. You know, some kids who have said, no, I want to go straight into the work field, because it's like college can be like you're just prolonging your adulthood.
Everybody can't do the same thing. We have to have people to fill every single job that there is. And so that's why people have different abilities and different wants and what they want to do. And that's okay. Everybody needs to be okay with, you know, whatever decision you make is okay, as long as you can support yourself.
Exactly. That's awesome. All right.
You need
well,
to
thank
be independent.
You. Yep. That's true. Thank you so much for being with us and talking to us. I hope that this has been an encouragement for you guys, and we'll catch you back later. Bye.